People love him already.
He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
On a break.
All right, we are back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, Season 3, Episode 28, Episode 96 overall, so still on that road to 100 episodes. But today joining me, a Dudley, Massachusetts native, a Michigan alum, and currently a tight end in the NFL for the Dallas Cowboys, Sean McKeon. Sean, thanks again for hopping on and taking the time and joining me.
Absolutely, brother. Pleasure to be here.
Yes, sir. And I wanted to start off again by thanking Sam Knox over at WPRI 12, as we were talking about, made this connection happen. For those that don't know, tell the viewers and listeners how you know Sam and how long your friendship dates back to.
Yeah, so I'm from Charlton, Massachusetts, originally, and grew up playing baseball and football, and we were on the same travel baseball team for a little bit. So those were my two sports growing up, and we just stayed in touch ever since. Obviously, he covers sports now for Rhode Island and the New England area. So, just stayed in touch and, awesome guy. Love Sam.
Yeah. He told me again, like you said, you guys played, you were a multi-sport athlete, baseball and football. And, he said one question to ask you to start things off was how, dominant were you? So doing two sports at once, being dominant in both, how did you only stick with football, once the college level came about?
Yeah, I liked baseball growing up more than football. That was kind of the first sport I really fell in love with. And, it helped having a brother that played the same sports. Obviously we could play catch all the time in the backyard and stuff. So baseball was huge. And then kind of got to high school and really, I was good at baseball. But when I got to high school, I was like, okay, I'm like really good at football. So kind of had to start taking football a little more seriously, and my high school coach on the football team was a big part of that, and he saw some potential in me and told me to start going to college camps, recruiting stuff like that. So I feel like probably my sophomore year of high school I made the switch to focus on football.
So were there weren't colleges looking at you for both sports? It was just football because of that change early on in high school?
Yeah, not too many D1 schools for baseball. I mean, I had some like D2 and D3 stuff for baseball, but at that point I was already getting D1 stuff for football. So I was like, yeah, forget that.
Yeah. And football too for high school, it's different, everywhere, but mostly you're playing both ends of the ball, offense and defense. I saw you were a defensive end too in high school. Who sort of guided you in that direction where, they knew your talents would shine more on the offensive end?
It was funny. I kind of guided myself. My coaches wanted me to play defensive end in college. And my high school coach thought, I liked playing both. I liked playing defensive end and tight end in high school. And, I had to play both ways just because being a Shepherd Hill, we didn't have the guys, the depth to, field like two different offense and defense of like 11 different starters on both. So a lot of the guys played both ways, and I liked it. I liked never coming off the field. I liked sacking quarterbacks. It was fun. I didn't like playing the run game. So I think that was a big part of why I didn't really want to play defense. And Boston College, they actually offered me as a defensive end. A couple colleges did want me to play defensive end, but at the end of the day I was like, no, I really think my skill set would probably be better for tight end.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, like, that decision process on picking a school. Ultimately, you picked Michigan, of course, and had a four-year career there. But like you just said, schools like Boston College wanted you for your defense. How did you decide on – well, obviously, you wanted to play offense, but on picking a school that would most fit your game?
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough to decide, really. My high school offense playing at Shepherd Hill was a double wing. So, we threw the ball maybe five times a game. So it was just tough to translate an offense like that to college, the college level where, all we run is like play action passes and bootlegs and stuff. And then, I'd never run a drop back, passing route really in my life. So I think that was a big switch. And, you know, I had to go to a lot of camps and work on my route running. And that was probably the biggest thing I worked on when I got to Michigan right away. It was just route running, catching balls. Just I just hadn't done enough of it. And, you know, I was always good at blocking and stuff like that in the run game. But, you know, I knew I wanted to – I enjoyed playing tight end better. You know, I thought I had a better body type for it than defensive ends. And, yeah, I mean, I think it was a good decision.
Yeah. Did you go to a lot of like you said, camps and stuff like that before deciding on Michigan, or was it kind of like a no brainer?
So Michigan was, I want to say they're like my 13th offer or 14th offer. So I'd already had some offers, and a lot of them were like ACC schools and, local schools. So I think UMass was like my first offer. And then, you know, just basically went through the ACC. Visited Syracuse, Boston College, and you know, I had Virginia Tech and Duke and all those schools. And you know, when Michigan called and they were interested, I was like, oh yeah, like that would be a dream school for sure. Especially because Coach Harbaugh had just got there and it was his first season there, and I just knew the type of coach that he was. So you know, they invited me to come to a camp in Michigan, and before they offered me, and then, you know, they wanted to see what I could do there. And, you know, I did pretty well. He ended up giving me an offer after the camp was over, and you know, I pretty much just committed on the spot right there. I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. And then a few I guess months after that, once the first days on the facilities, I guess, at Michigan, like, what did it feel like? What was your mindset like, again, those first few days, like knowing that soon to be, like, you're going to be playing on that field at one of the best football schools in the country?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, as a freshman just coming in, I was just trying to, you know, find my way, learn the ropes. I wasn't really expecting to play right away. I knew I had to gain some weight and put some muscle on first. So, you know, I played in 3 games my freshman year, and they were all blowouts. So I think they were beating like Hawaii, like 50-0. They put me in, you know, games like that. So they ended up burning my red shirt my freshman year, and played a little bit. But, you know, I think that experience helped me out for sure. Cause, you know, my sophomore year, I, you know, had some starting time and a lot of reps, and, you know, ended up having like, whatever, 30 catches or something. So, you know, that was a good year for me. Junior year was another good year, and, you know, kind of secured my spot as the starting tight end there. And, you know, just kept trying to build on every single year, just, you know, find ways to get better. And, you know, I think every year ended up being a better season for me.
Yeah. Sophomore year, like you just mentioned, was kind of like a breakout year for you, kind of put your name on the map a little bit more, as far as being a starter. But before that, again, you talk about freshman year. What do you feel like your, like, welcome to college football moment was?
I mean, I would say my first catch was pretty cool. In my first game ever, I ended up getting a catch. Like I said, it was just garbage time, like a little flat route, but for a couple of yards. But that was really cool. You know, I felt like, you know, I'm finally here. Like, you know, made a play in college football, so that was awesome. And then I mean, besides that, there were so many, I think, just cool experiences going to Michigan as a freshman and then coming in there and just playing with all the guys that I did and practicing against them. There's so many good players like Rashawn Gary and Devin Bush and Jake Budd and all those guys. So I mean, practicing against them was tough for sure.
Yeah, definitely. We'll get into that as well. And we just, again, talked about sophomore year, how that was like one of like your breakout years. Like we just talked about, 13 games, 10 starts, second on the team in receiving yards. You just mentioned 30 catches as well, 3 TDs. I mean, in your eyes, in your perspective, what do you think changed from your freshman year to sophomore year as far as, like, you know, the adjusting to the system of Michigan and like your game as a whole?
Yeah, you know, definitely had to adjust. Like I said, like it's a big transition going from high school, small school, public school in the middle of nowhere, Charlton, Massachusetts, to Michigan. So, you know, I had to learn the whole pro offense. And you know, I'm not bad at learning playbooks, but it's still a big playbook. So You got to get comfortable with that. And definitely, I think your first year is more about learning the playbook. And then once you really get the playbook down, once you know what you're doing on every play, you can focus on your technique on every play and how you're doing stuff and how you're running routes and how you're blocking guys. And, you know, that helped a lot. And just, you know, getting stronger, faster, putting some weight on. I think I came in at like 230, but, you know, by the end of my sophomore year, I was probably like 245, you know, pushing 250. So needed that college weight for sure to be able to block guys and, you know, run routes and stuff. And so, yeah, I think it was just all a good progression, weight room, playbook. Obviously, like I said, I had to run a shit ton of routes, get better at that, you know, stay on the jugs, work on the hands always. But yeah, I'd say that was probably the biggest difference maker for me.
Yeah, talk about some of the teammates you had too as well at Michigan. Obviously, they produce a lot of pros in today's game. One that sticks out to me, one is Quiddy Pay, played at Rhode Island, at Bishop Hendrickson in Warwick, and a few of my friends that they played football at Stonehill College. They played with him, and it was really cool to see that experience and how Quiddy grew as a player as well. So someone like him, his caliber, just talk about some of those players too that kind of, I guess, were mentors or leaders when you were in like the younger stages of your career.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we had so many good defensive ends like Quiddy come through, and you know, at one time we had Quiddy, Rashawn Gary, who's on the Packers now, and Aiden Hutchinson. Obviously, everyone knows him. Josh Uche on the Patriots. Who else? Mike Dana, who's on the Chiefs now. So we had all these NFL guys at defensive end in the same room at the same time. So, I mean, it was like every practice, it felt like practices were harder than the games. And, you know, that's how it should be at good programs like that, at, you know, with even with the NFL teams. You want your practices to be harder than the game. It's just the way you want to train, get yourself ready for the game, so you're prepared for every situation. But yeah, I mean, like those guys just going up against them, iron sharpens iron, you know, and Harbaugh is really big into competition always. So everything's competition, and yeah, you know, just competing with guys like that at that skill level, that talent level, it makes you a better player for sure. So, you know, very grateful to go up against, you know, some of those guys.
Do you have any memorable practice stories from your time at Michigan?
Let's see if I could find a decent one to tell. Yeah, I mean, there are definitely times where the offense and defense start getting into it in spring ball. I feel like it's always spring ball just because, you know, you don't really have a game to practice for or an opponent to get ready for. So you're kind of just going against your own guys every day and wearing each other out, and the tensions get high. And, you know, I think we were doing a red zone lockout, and the defense was pretty fired up, and they stopped the offense on the first drive. They're talking shit. Rashawn Gary's yelling in my face and stuff, you know, talking about we're not doing shit, we're not scoring. And, you know, I think they ended up winning the drill, and our quarterback kind of punted the ball at the end. Coach Harbaugh, you know, got so mad, and, you know, almost ended in like an offense versus defense, like fist fight on the field. But
yeah,
you know, those generally aren't the type of situations you want. But I think, I mean, like I said, it's just the competition is, and the energy is so high, and, you know, everyone's really just busting their ass every play. So, you know, the emotions flare, but you know, it can happen. It happens at every team. There's always a couple fights.
Yeah, we'll get into that too at the pro level and how that kind of prepared you for that, you know, practice wise and of course in the games. But senior year comes around again. You deal with an injury the last three games, but still leaving your mark. Do you feel like you left a mark at Michigan football for yourself as a player? And do you think that prepared you going into draft night?
Yeah, I think, you know, my senior year was tough. I tore my hamstring and missed a few games, and you know, that definitely hurt to do your senior year, your last year there. And I'd never really had any major injuries like that before, so that was kind of my first one. And it was tough to deal with, and not being out there with the guys is the worst feeling in the world, just watching from the sideline. But yeah, I think, you know, it was a challenge for me that senior year and getting healthy and trying to stay in it. And, you know, obviously it's tough looking back on my career at Michigan when, you know, we went 0-4 against Ohio State and 0-4 in bowl games. So it's tough to leave a legacy going 0-4, but yeah, I will say some of my best games were against Ohio State, so definitely can't put the blame on me for those games. But no, man, I'm definitely very proud to have gone to Michigan, and you know, I feel like my class and the guys that came in with me, we kind of helped pave the way for you know, guys that come in after us that eventually ended up beating Ohio State. You know, went to the Natty, and you know, there were a lot of guys on those teams that I played with, and you know, kind of just showing them the way to do it. And obviously, you know, they took it and ran with it, and you know, they've been killing it the last couple of years. But just really proud of how they've been playing, and you know, beating Ohio State, winning the national championship. I mean, yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, for your time there, when you think of one on field moment, if you could pick one, your most memorable in game situation. When you look back at it,
I say one that sticks out for sure was my first touchdown, and that was sophomore year against Minnesota. So that was a Brown Jug game, mm-hmm. and we won the Brown Jug, so that was really cool. And you know, got a picture with that after in the locker room and stuff. So that was awesome. And then besides that, anytime we beat Michigan State, that was awesome. We beat their ass a few times. That was good. And, you know, just really catching any touchdown. It's a great feeling.
For sure.
Getting a win. Yeah. I think, I'll say the rain. We had a win against Notre Dame in the rain at the Big House. We beat them by like 30 points. That game was a lot of fun too. So I have a lot of good memories for sure playing in the Big House.
Yeah, and playing at such a high level again at Michigan again, like not the traditional draft night is a lot of guys, but you know, your name isn't called. But at the end of the night, you're signed by the Cowboys. So as an undrafted free agent, so just run me through that day for you, the process and your mindset going through it as well.
Yeah, it was tough not getting drafted. I mean, that's what you dream about. As a kid and stuff growing up, you know, I can't wait to get drafted, and, you know, and it's tough when your name doesn't get called, and, you know, you sit there for 3 days and you think it might get called, you know, oh, this team might grab you, this team might get you, you never know. But you know, then as soon as the draft is over, you have to make a decision fast, and because you have a lot of coaches. I had a lot of coaches calling my phone like, hey, we really want to get you here, but you know, you got to make a decision quick because they're calling every tight end that's still available saying, hey, like we want to have you here. And you got to make your decision fast before someone takes your spot, basically. So I was lucky. I think I was one of the top guys that the Cowboys wanted undrafted. So, you know, they called me right away, and you know, I had a few options to pick from. I think the Giants were right there, and the Ravens, the Browns, they were all calling my phone. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just had to look at the situation in the tight end room at those teams and see where, you know, I might have the best chance to make a roster as a rookie coming in. And, you know, I felt the Cowboys had a really good chance for that. And, you know, I never really been to Texas or Dallas, but it's an awesome place to live too. So can't really go wrong with that. And yeah, so, you know, I decided to go with Dallas, and ended up making the team. So it definitely worked out.
Yeah. Coming from Mass, did you grow up a Patriots fan?
Oh yeah. 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 No, I was a Brady fan for sure.
Yeah. So obviously when you're trying to get into the NFL, it doesn't matter what team you go to, but ideally, you know, I've seen a lot of players like last when I worked with Sam in the summer. Obviously, they're not all from Mass, but to be able to play with Tom Brady, like Sam was there during that time, and to see those players like that. So, was there any like dream destination for yourself, or was it like that mindset, like I just said, like just kind of whatever team wants me, I'm going to because it's the pros?
Yeah, it's, I didn't really have a destination in mind. You know, obviously the states with no income tax are nicer in the NFL. So I would have been happy with any team really. But, you know, honestly, I don't think I would have, I really didn't want to stay in New England, and nothing against the Patriots, but I just, you know, I've always, you know, I grew up in New England. I didn't, you know, I want to get out and kind of experience other teams, other places, other, you know, see other things. So, you know, I thought it was good coming down to Texas. Like I said, I've never been here, but, you know, just the environment and facilities and everything down here has been great. So,
yeah, I can kind of relate to that in a sense, coming from New England. Sometimes people never really leave once you're in, that's it. But for me, I want to become a sports broadcaster. So I really want to see where it could take me, you know, what opportunities are going to present itself in the country. And excited to see what happens come May once I graduate. But for yourself, when did it all like seem real? Like, what was your welcome to the NFL moment?
I would say probably I remember in camp, and so the year the Cowboys signed me, it was 2020, and it was weird because it was COVID year, so I didn't have a pro day, I didn't have OTAs, I didn't really have anything. I just kind of showed up to camp. Yeah. And you know, I think it was the first week of practice, maybe the second or third day of full pads, and you know, I wasn't getting a lot of reps, but you know, I was getting some and trying to take advantage of the ones I was getting. But we did a goal line period, and I had DeMarcus Lawrence over me like the entire period for like six plays in a row. And so I just had to block him on the goal line for like six straight plays. And man, I just remember he was just kicking my ass. But I got him good. I got him good one time and kind of pancaked him. And, you know, I think that lit a fire under his ass. And then he just started swim moving me, doing spin moves, everything. And I was like, holy shit, this dude's a freak. But yeah, I'd say that was probably the first one. Get my ass kicked on goal line. But
yeah, we talked about Michigan and how obviously like playing at that much of a high level can prepare you for the NFL, but playing against people like him, like it really can't, like it's more of like a, you have to see it to believe it type of thing. For you, again, your first year playing third string, mostly on special teams, but the following year in 2021, I thought it was pretty cool to see that your first ever reception was against the Falcons and your former high school teammate, Chris Lindstrom, which I thought that's an awesome moment. But for you, just talk about how that was as a whole and how much that meant to you during that moment as well.
Yeah, that was really cool. And my second year in the league, we had an injury at tight end. So I was playing a lot more as the backup and with Dalton Schultz, and, you know, ended up playing a lot. And that was super cool. Just kind of being, you know, not necessarily in the starting lineup, but I was getting, you know, maybe 20, 25 plays on offense during the game. So yeah, I think my first catch was like a bootleg off play action, and I was running the corner route, and Dak just zipped it in there and somehow snuck it in, and you know, got a little I think it was like 14 yards or something on the sideline, so that was cool. But yeah, playing against Chris, and you know, obviously Chris Lindstrom, we played together in high school, and on he was a great dude, and you know, obviously seeing him doing so well at Boston College and going to the Falcons, you know, super happy for him. And obviously his brother too, Alec, played with the Cowboys. So yeah, it was kind of a full circle moment, you know, doing the jersey swap with Chris after the game and all that. So it was definitely really cool. Just a couple guys from Dudley and Charlton, Massachusetts. So
yeah, and then a month after that on Thanksgiving, you score your first career touchdown against the Raiders on, like I said, on Thanksgiving. And but you had more reps, more playing time because of the injury. But another moment, another memorable moment in your career. Just run me through the emotions before the ball was snapped and realizing you're in the end zone for your first career touchdown.
Yeah, I knew as soon as I heard the play call, I knew it was coming to me. I'm the main target. So, I didn't know how close we were to the end zone. I honestly wasn't really thinking at all. All I could think about was how tired I was because I was in for like, I want to say like six or seven straight plays, and we were just driving down the field on the Raiders and stuff, and I was just fucking like out of breath, like oh shit, tired, and heard him call the play. I was like, oh shit, like I could get a ball right here, and I didn't really know I was gonna score, but I knew I would have a chance if I could break a tackle, and like it was another bootleg, another rollout. And I was the only one in the flat route over there, and kind of fooled the guy covering me in man, and he thought it was a run play, so got away from him. Caught the ball, ended up breaking a tackle and got in. And man, I don't even it was just such like raw emotion, just going over me. I didn't even know what to do. I didn't have a celebration or anything. But all I knew was I had to hold on to that football. So I definitely wasn't giving it to anyone. So I ended up holding on to that and got that in a trophy case at my house now. So yeah, it was a really cool moment.
Yeah, I was watching back the replay. Like you say, raw emotion, just kind of screaming, letting it all out, all the teammates coming around, traditional first touchdown moment. But just talk about Dak too as a whole, like how he's been as a mentor to you coming into the league your first few years, and then just off the field as well, how he's been toward you.
Yeah, he's the ultimate leader, honestly. Great guy, great teammate, and he's a lead by example type of guy. So he's not gonna ask you to do anything that he's not already doing or would do himself. So he's a great leader. Can't say enough about how he is as a person. And it's good to have someone like that when you're coming in and to show you how to work hard and in team workouts and get the extra rep and conditioning and just go the extra mile. So he definitely did a good job of showing that every day, and it's an everyday thing. Like he doesn't take a day off. Every day in the weight room, 6 a.m. Every day he's the first one in and tries to be the last one out. Like actually, like he gets mad if you there is a time when I want to say it was like we just started off season, and me and my buddy Ben DiNucci were like, yeah, like let's go in early, let's get some like 6 a.m. workouts in this week. Why not? So we start going in at like 6 a.m. working out, and Dak is coming in at 6:30, and he sees our stuff in the locker room already there, and he's like, "What are you guys doing?" He's like, "Well, we're just getting a 6 a.m. workout." He's like, "Well, fuck! Now I'm gonna have to get here earlier because I can't let you guys beat me here." That's just the type of mentality that he has, and so that definitely rubbed off on me for sure.
Yeah, and what I was shocked to see was like the process of you being waived, picked back up on practice squads, having the spot, and then the process kind of continued again. But I guess the question leading up to that is, how hard is it to maintain a roster spot in the NFL when nothing's like really guaranteed?
Yeah, it's extremely hard. It's extremely hard. There's hundreds of other dudes out there just working for the just to get the opportunity to play. And if you're not on your shit, you gotta I kind of it's kind of similar, being undrafted in the NFL. It's similar to being like a walk-on in college. Nothing's guaranteed. You don't have a scholarship. I didn't have a big contract. So you got to work for everything you get, and every opportunity that a first or second or third round guy, he's gonna have way more opportunities than you just because you're undrafted. So every opportunity you get, you really can't waste it at all, because there won't be many for undrafted guys. But yeah, you just gotta come in every day, and I think that's where playing at Michigan helped me a lot with competing every day. That was one of Coach Harbaugh's biggest things is going into the off season, he always says no one has their starting spot. Like you were a starter last year, cool. All right, go. You got to earn your starting spot again next year. You got to be the best. You know, he's going to play the best player that he has at the position. So you got to be ready to compete with everyone in your position group at all times, really. And, you know, I think that's just a really good mindset to have. Just, you know, always competing, always trying to get better. Even if you're not competing against someone else, just competing with yourself. You know, getting better every day. So I think that definitely helped me a lot. And yeah, it's not easy to stay in the NFL for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm really excited to see if I could talk to more guys in the NFL. It's really cool to see like their journey and how they got there, because everyone's journey is different. Someone from the jump, I said I wanted to talk to, was Quiddy. And a lot of the guys from Rhode Island that have made big names for themselves, like Cole Swider, who's with the Miami Heat. David Duke Jr. I'm pretty sure he just signed with San Antonio on a two-way deal. So players like that, people like that are coming. Jeremy Pena, another one with Houston Astros. But those journeys are so much different coming from the small state in the country. And again, for someone like yourself, not in the traditional route to go, but just to see that journey as a whole. So I guess to kind of wrap things up, you know, segue into my last question is there anything different you would change about your process when you look back at everything?
You know, it's hard to say, man, because I'm a big believer in, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Me too.
And, you know, the things you experience and go through, you know, help you become a better person and give you more knowledge and all those things. So, I mean, the one thing I wish I could change was probably never getting hurt my senior year. But you can't control that, you know. I tore my hamstring catching a touchdown against Wisconsin. So it's tough, man. I missed a lot of games from that, and it ended up, you know, kind of nagging me in the off season with, you know, I couldn't run at the combine because I, you know, re-injured it at the Senior Bowl and stuff like that. So that was tough for me, and I think it really hurt my draft stock coming out of Michigan. You know, I was projected to be a low round guy, but, you know, not really being able to show my athleticism at pro day because it was canceled with COVID and everything. And then I couldn't run the combine. It hurt, but, you know, I think going through all that, it just, you know, made me work even harder once I got to the NFL to try to stay there. And, you know, staying 4 years with the Cowboys, being undrafted, you know, I'm definitely proud of that, and it's not easy to do. So, yeah, man, I probably wouldn't change anything really.
Yeah. I have the same mindset too. Like, everything happens for a reason. I'm a huge believer in that. Even if it's fighting through adversity, whatever it is, like you talked about the injury, stuff you can't control, you know, if you didn't get injured, who knows, you might not have caught the touchdown, or those sequence of events might not have happened the way that they did. So, definitely agree with you like that 100%. That's all I got for you, Sean. I appreciate you for hopping on. I'm a Giants fan, unfortunately. So I was just talking to, like I said, Cole the other day on how I'm a Knicks fan too for basketball. So I got to root for him in Miami. I got to root for you now with Dallas. I got to go with my Giants. I'm all over the place. I don't know if I'm just a fan of the sport in general now, or if I'm, it's tough to stick with one team when you got guys, you know, doing their thing and you want to support them.
No, I hear you. I like to root for my friends too, man. So I got friends in all different teams and stuff like that. And obviously, it's hard to be a fan of a team when you're playing. You kind of just got to, you know, be with your team. But yeah, absolutely, man. It's great doing this interview with you. And yeah, keep it up.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Sean. I'll stay in touch. Again, episode 96, 4 more away from 100. So keep tuning in to Camps Corner, guys, and we'll see you in the next episode.